Okay, welcome everyone. This is John Gabriel with the Gabriel Method, and this is webinar number two of week two of the 2015 detox. And this is the, for many of us, this is the second day that we're starting to do all juice. It's likely some of you might be feeling some kind of detox symptoms. Others might be feeling amazing. I'm sure we'll hear all about it. But this is a really interesting class. This is one of my favorite classes. We're bringing in, in addition to Nadia, a guest speaker to talk about how to detoxify your home. Because as we'll discuss, many of the cleaning products that we use for our home and also for our bodies have some of the most toxic substances in the world in them. And I find it ironic, personally, that some of the things that make us cleanest on the outside make us dirtiest on the inside. But it doesn't have to be that way. Number one, we don't have to spend a lot of money on cleaning products. We don't have to have a different cleaning product for every part of every house and every part of your body. We've been kind of sold a good bill of goods in that sense. And most importantly, we don't have to spend a lot of money, or most importantly, we don't have to toxify our bodies just to clean our bodies in our home. So I'd like to introduce Nadia. She's a really inspiring speaker. She's worked for the Gabriel Method for several years. She is a certified holistic health coach and graduate of the Integrative Institute of Nutrition. A few years back, she was diagnosed with stage 3 chronic kidney disease. She decided to take her love for food and cooking and turn it into a full-blown mission to take her health back, to take her life and her health back into her hands. Determined to heal herself, gain energy, and be able to live a long, healthy life, she became a certified health coach. Feeling better than ever, Janine now focuses on helping others also heal themselves through a holistic and healthy lifestyle approach. She's a UCE nutrition coach. That's our ultimate coaching experience. And you can also learn more about Janine at her website, JanineOliver.com. Janine, are you there?
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Great. I'm very, very excited for today's webinar.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm really excited, too, and I'm really happy you could join us. I recognize that it's late over there. It's got to be 2 in the morning or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, it's about 2 a.m. here. But
yeah, Janine's joining us from Boston. You're good, huh? Did you sleep first or you stayed up?
Yeah.
For this?
Okay, cool. I rested, but I didn't sleep. I have energy. These things always give me energy, and then I'll crash out afterwards.
Okay, awesome. And let's bring Nadia in if we can. Nadia, are you there?
Hi, John. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Nadia. How are you?
Hi, Nadia.
Hi. I'm really good, thanks. Looking forward to today.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So are you guys hearing me okay? How's my audio?
I can hear you okay.
I hear you fine, John.
It does sound like almost like it's raining behind you. I don't know if that's your mic.
Yeah. You know what? I might just take a minute. Just my window's open, but I might just take a minute to try to adjust that a little bit. But it should be fine. Aaron, just so you know, the batteries are fine because I just changed the batteries on my mic. But I'll be back in 1 second.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Still the same, but you're coming through fine. I can hear you loud and clear.
Interesting. All right, Aaron, do you want to do something about this, or are we good? It's okay, he says. I'm getting text messages now. All right, let's go. Let's talk about where we're at the moment. As we know, we had 3 webinars last week, which were the pre-cleanse week. And we are now in week 2, and we're in the second day of week 2, which is our cleanse week. And we're going to talk today about detoxing your home. We'll also stop and take lots of questions along the way because we're going to have lots of questions, I'm sure. This is, as I said, always a very engaging webinar because the topic is so new to so many of us. You know, we don't really think about this. I mean, we don't think too much about. Am I right? I mean, unless you put some thought into it, you don't think too much about what you're getting at from a cleaning store. Maybe you'll make sure it's something environmentally friendly. We don't think that there's toxins in your house cleaning supplies and the things that you use to wash your bodies. But when you get into it and you have a look, it's really it's really amazing. So, Janine, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about it for us.
Definitely. So you're completely correct. A lot of times when we think about losing weight and becoming healthy, we think about just about the food that comes into our body and also the exercise that we do and just the very, very basics about being healthy. But the idea is that we need to have our environment also be a safe living space, and that includes our home and bath products because they do affect us on a daily basis. So we're going to talk about what types of options are the best options today and also inexpensive alternatives.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about how our home products affect our bodies again.
Definitely. So one of the best truths that there is that there are several products within our home that are highly toxic. And our cleaning products can affect our lungs and skin, and our body products can affect our skin and also internally because it absorbs into our skin. And also the cooking products that we use can also affect us internally.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people understand this, and still there are actually still many people that don't, but, you know, they say that, so whatever you put on your skin goes into your body, and they say that putting something on your skin is the same as eating it. I would actually take it a step further because when you eat something, if it's not healthy for you, there's a good chance that the enzymes will break it down, or the acid in your stomach will break it down, or the bacteria in your intestines will break it down, or it'll never get into your bloodstream. But when you actually put something on your skin, that actually goes right into your bloodstream. So to me, when you put something on your skin, it's actually worse than eating it. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And also there's things like toothpaste or lipstick that we also physically consume, which are also cleaning products or just makeup products, and we are literally swallowing these things. So,
right.
So absorption through skin and also swallowing products, it can, over time, cause a problem with the way that our bodies function.
Right. Well, let's talk about cleaning products if we can.
Sure. So cleaning products include things like sprays, gels, liquids, bleach, and other chemical cleaning products. And these products are inhaled into our system and absorbed through our skin every time that we use them. So depending if you clean your house once a week or on a daily basis, we are in constant contact with these products. And also they leave residue. So even after we clean, we are still absorbing them.
Yeah. So what's the best way to avoid them, or what should we be looking out for?
So just a couple of things is that these products can contain carcinogens, and so carcinogens can cause or promote cancer growth. They also can include endocrine disruptors, which can throw your hormones out of balance. And with the Gabriel Method, we always talk about how important it is to have your hormones in balance. And then also neurotoxins, so affecting brain activity. So these things are present in a lot of the commercial cleaning products.
Right. So what are the types of things we should be looking out for then?
Okay, so we want to look out for cleaners with bleach, ammonia, lye, sodium hypochlorite, and triclosan. And also cleaners with labels containing any of these words: toxic, dangerous, warning, caution, poisonous, skin irritant, or eye irritant. It basically, if these things are going to damage our skin, they're probably also going to damage our insides.
Well, what are some of the green alternatives then?
Sorry, can you repeat that, John?
Yeah, what are some of the healthier alternatives that we can use for cleaning?
All right, so some green alternatives to consider would be lemon juice or apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is a great one. And also just simple white vinegar or baking soda and Castile soap. Commercial cleaners with green certificate. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you tell me what Castile soap is again? A lot of people always ask that question, what Castile soap is.
Yeah, Castile soap, you can actually make it at home, but you can also purchase it quite easily. It's a fine hard white or a mottled soap made with olive oil and soda. So it's a very, very basic, simple soap. And it actually comes from Spain originally. But you can make it in just a few minutes, and or you can purchase it. It's usually quite cheap, and you can buy it in bulk.
Right. And we're going to talk about a lot of different ways to use these ingredients. You also have essential oils, which I love, which I think is a great great thing to add to your cleaners. But we're going to talk a little while about how to use all these. Let's talk about some more of the really toxic type of cleaners. And this is one we don't think too much about, but this is probably one of the worst ones out there, obviously, is drain cleaners. Is that right?
Yes, drain cleaner is the big one that you want to stay away from. And so the reason is a lot of times it can cause lye, and they're very, very corrosive. So these chemicals can cause severe burns on your eyes and your skin, and also the fumes are known irritants to the eyes, nose, throat, and into the lungs. And
right.
So this is just not something that you want to be breathing in, or and also if it destroys everything in your pipe, it's just super, super toxic.
Right. I mean, it's basically meant to kill anything and everything organic. I mean, it's just that simple. So, you know, we're using
exactly.
this. Yeah, and we're touching it in the fumes. And the other one is toilet bowl cleaners also, right? Is that right?
Exactly, exactly. And also, we also need to remember that these things get flushed down the toilet. So a lot of times if you do go to a hardware store and ask for these products, they a lot of times recommend against them. And the reason is because this is not good for our water sources, because all of this goes back out into the ocean. So it can really threaten our water quality and our fish and our wildlife. So it's a poison, and it's a really good thing to stay away from. And toilet bowl cleaners, they also fall under this, and their fumes are also known irritants to the eyes, nose, throat, and lungs. And so there are alternatives and eco-friendly cleaner or simple vinegar bottle in the tank for maintenance. So, for example, you can take a bottle of vinegar, and if you poke a hole in it and you just stick that in your tank, it'll slowly leak out, and it's just a way to maintain a clean toilet bowl without even having to do any kind of scrubbing or anything like that.
Right, that sounds like a great idea. You know, the other thing that always, you know, amazes me, like when we do this webinar, is we're just so conditioned that we've basically been sold the idea that there has to be a different cleaner for everything, right? You know, there's got to be a toilet bowl cleaner. There's got to be an oven cleaner.
Exactly.
There's got to be a counter. There's got to be a countertop cleaner and a floor cleaner and a wall cleaner and a tile cleaner and a window cleaner. You know, it's in their best interest to convince us. I remember when I was a kid, there was this, I don't know if you remember this, there was this detergent, laundry detergent, that talked about ring around the collar. You know, they basically invented this thing called ring around the collar, and they have these kids going, ring around the collar, ring around the collar. You've got this, you know, and they go, these dirty rings. You know, you try scrubbing and soaking, and they just made up this whole thing to be embarrassed about so that you could buy their product on the assumption that their product is something special about ring around the collar. You know, they just invent these things and this idea, and we don't even think about it. You know, we went through this era of maybe 50, 60 years, really since the nuclear bomb, and the nuclear era, really, where we just thought we were God because we could blow anything up. And we just started in putting shit in everything, our food, everything that we clean, everything that we use, our cars, our environment, without ever thinking about the consequences. And you know, and now it's just second nature. I mean, if these products came onto the market right now and they were never on the market, people would say, are you crazy? I would never put something like this in my house. You know, and the biggest one, also a really huge one, is oven cleaner, because you've got incredibly toxic materials going into the oven that you're, you know, where your food is going.
Right, and I think you make a really good point of the fact that we're very desensitized to the fact that we're using all of these chemicals in our daily life now, and it's something
exactly.
we don't really think about. And it's funny how also, for example, is I've had people say, "Oh, you're so crazy to put olive oil on your skin or to put honey on your skin."
Yeah, or people say to me, Should I really take more than 3 grams of fish oil a day, as if like that's going to poison them, having 4 grams of fish oil or something like that? You know, when we're putting all these things on our skin and in our ovens and in our food supply.
Yeah, it's just something that over time, when it becomes something that's so normal, then we don't really realize that we need to question it. So let's just talk about oven cleaners really quickly, because that's another thing. So what you put in your oven is going to end up in your food and then in your body. And so, for example, if you put a toxic cleaner to get those really tough stains off of your oven, and then you bake something, that's a lot of temperature that you're applying to those chemicals. And so it's a very difficult thing. And a lot of oven cleaners contain lye, which is caustic. It's a strong irritant, and it can burn the skin and the eyes. And also, lye can inhibit reflexes and can also cause severe tissue damage if it's swallowed. So it's something that if we wouldn't pour it into our mouth, why are we putting it around the food that we're eating?
Makes sense.
So there's a really simple DIY oven cleaner. And actually, I just talked to Nadia last week about this as well. And you can make a paste out of baking soda and some water. And you can put it on the walls of the oven or on the tray or on the door, and you can let it sit for about 6 to 12 hours. And then after that, you can wipe it down with a warm rag with water, and that really, really will help take off the first coat. And then you can spray it with vinegar, and you can take off that second last coat of all of the grime and everything like that. So it's just something that's just not toxic, and it's not going to end up in your food.
Right, and it doesn't make chemical manufacturers rich, so we don't hear about it. Nadia, is this what you use, Nadia, for cleaning the oven?
No, it was an idea that someone sent me, so I sent it over to Janine to see if she had heard of it. And it makes complete sense to me, because that's basically how we clean our entire home, with vinegar, baking soda, and water. And this other idea on the slide here that Janine has with the salt is also a really good idea.
Yeah. So you don't ascribe to the idea that you need a different cleaner for each part of the house. Is that right?
Definitely not. I consider that really clever marketing.
Really clever marketing, right? Tiles need their own cleaner. Right? Like there's something about that we have to have. So when you clean your house, you're saying it's basically a combination of vinegar. What else are your cleaning products that you use?
In our house, it's vinegar, it's lemon juice, it's essential oils, water, white vinegar, and sometimes apple cider vinegar, usually white vinegar. I just made a cleaner recently, where we'll talk about it later in the slide as well, where you infuse thyme into vinegar, but this time I did it with other herbs as well. I used rosemary, lavender, sage, oregano, and lemon balm, and I infused all of those because they're all really antibacterial, antimicrobial properties to them. So I infused all of that into vinegar, and we've been using that all over our entire house.
Great. All right, I want to bring in Den to ask a couple of questions, and then we'll start talking about different body products and what's toxic about them and what we can do to clean our bodies in a friendly way. But let's bring Den in first and answer a couple of questions.
Hi, Janine. Hi, Nadia. And hi, John.
Hi, Den.
Okay, because we had a few sound issues, a few people missed the toilet bowl cleaner suggestion. So can you just repeat that for us, Janine?
Sure, yeah. Actually, I don't think I had a chance to actually talk about it.
Okay.
Because a lot of times you like the gel because it sticks for a bit, and it helps kind of decompose whatever's stuck. So just a simple recipe is half a teaspoon of xanthan gum, and 1 teaspoon of glycerin, 1 cup water, and 1/2 cup of white vinegar. And if you combine them in a blender, then it kind of creates a gel. So that way it'll cling to the side of your bowl, and it'll make the tough job a little bit easier. But the vinegar bottle in the tank, it also helps save water because there's going to be less water filling up in your tank. And so it's just a great way to maintain it over time so that you wouldn't even need this gel. But I know a lot of times, whatever you're comfortable using, it's really hard to get away from that. So I always really like to find some ways that are just the closest possible replica that is more natural. That way you still get to have your ritual, but it's safer for the environment and safer for your health.
So Janine, just repeat the gel one more time, because I know people are going to ask about that again.
Sure. It's 1/2 teaspoon xanthan gum, 1 teaspoon glycerin, 1 cup water, and 1/2 cup white vinegar.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Adam asks, what's a safe alternative for drain cleaner? My wife has long hair, and it's like thin steel cables wrapped down inside the drain. We can all relate to that.
This is a really common issue for people who have long hair. The number one thing is to either try to comb your hair in the shower and try to collect the hair and separate it before it tries to go down the drain. You can also buy a lot of times just a very, very simple softener that has holes in it that will kind of help trap the hair before it goes down. So preventative measures is always going to be better in the long run because it'll just be faster and easier. Once you get used to that, here in Spain, the pipes are really, really old. So I've just become accustomed to making sure I can get as little hair down the drain as possible every day because it's gonna cause a backup. And then if you do have a backup, they're all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Janine. Go ahead.
And the other thing is, like, when the backups do happen, especially in showers, there's a mechanism called a snake, which is like a metal tube. And basically you can put it down the pipe, and then if you turn it around, it'll basically pull up all of the hair. So then after that, once you get the clog removed from the hair, then in general, if you boil some hot water and you pour it down the drain, and then you pour some vinegar and some baking soda and you let it sit for 15 minutes, follow up by another kettle of hot water, and usually that'll clear it right out.
Okay. All right. Thank you. This is a question that I think a lot of people probably thought. What's a good option for a shower cleaner to remove mold and mildew, and also furniture polish?
Nadia, do you want to take this one? Do you have any tips for this one?
Yeah. So in the shower, what we use is vinegar, and we just spray straight white vinegar on the shower, let it sit for a little bit, and then wipe it down. And again, for, you know, preventative, again, if you do it a little bit more often and not let it build up. For dusting furniture or furniture polish, when I'm dusting, I use a lint-free cloth. I get a little bowl of warm water, or not warm, just water, and put some drops of essential oil. The one I really like is lemongrass essential oil. I put a few drops in there, and then I take my lint-free cloth and just make it, I wring it, put it in the water, and then wring it out so it's just slightly damp. And I'll dust everything in my house with that. For a polish, you can add a little bit of oil, just a tiny bit of olive oil, really any oil, and you can use that to polish your furniture, to polish stainless steel appliances in the kitchen. It works really well, too. And then dry it off with a dry cloth after.
Cool.
Okay. I actually saw on Pinterest that the best way to remove oil is to use oil. Have you heard of that too? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. No, you know, particularly your range hoods, you know how you sort of get the oil splatters? If you actually wipe it with oil, it actually removes it, and then you can go over with the essential oil or the vinegar. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, even if you get, and if you buy anything and you take the price tag off and it has that gummy residue on it, just put a little bit of oil on there and rub it. It'll come right off.
Yeah.
Okay. Laura says, when Janine, you mentioned, you know, not if you don't necessarily want to make your own and you want to go for cleaning products. Oh, sorry. No, she does mean DIY cleaning products. Do you need to buy organic ingredients? Sorry, do you want me to ask that question again?
I mean, no, that's okay. So if you're going to do DIY, should you go organic? As
yes.
much as possible, organic is always preferable, just for so many reasons. Number one, it's better for the planet because the soil is better protected for the ingredients that you're purchasing. I also do know that, unfortunately, not everyone can do organic in everything. So, for example, where you can, it's wonderful. So any additional products, and this goes for the same for food as well, as much as you can, you're going to get the benefits of it. And so commercial products, unfortunately, just don't have the same quality as organic. So if you can go organic, go for it.
Okay.
A lot of people are wanting the gel recipe again, so we will we will actually post it in the Q&A section.
Definitely.
But we'll also put it in the chat role if we can. Sharon asks, I think we've had this question before. Janine, do you have any dishwasher soap ideas? As in for dishwashing machines.
Yep. Dishwashing machines.
To wash dishes or to wash clothes?
No, dishes.
There's a couple of things that you can use. You can purchase products that are green products that'll give you the sudsy effect. There's also a couple of different things. You can fill one tub up with water and kind of make sure to get everything off, and then you can go ahead and rinse everything with like a diluted vinegar solution as well.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Janine, sorry to interrupt. No, it's actually for a, I think she means for a dishwasher.
Yeah.
For clothes.
No,
sorry. putting your dishes in a dishwasher. What sort of cleaning product do you use for that?
Inside a dishwasher.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't have a dishwasher, so.
How about Nadia, do you have any suggestions on that?
You know, I don't use a dishwasher either. So my best suggestion would be to buy a cleaner find one that's made by a really good company and, you know, just maybe even call the company. Companies that make really good cleaners, if you call them, they'll be more than happy to tell you all about their ingredients. Companies that aren't so eco-friendly, you won't even find their ingredients listed. And if you call them, they won't really want to answer your questions.
Yeah.
So you can maybe just, that's my best suggestion, is just to maybe look for one.
Okay.
There are options. I've started to notice better options.
Yeah.
Janine, while you were explaining how to wash dishes, maybe just keep going because I'm sure there's a few people who want to know that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, the first step is just to get all of the residue of food off of it, which you can do just with simple, like fill up one side of the sink with just water and things like that. And then with the other one, you can rinse them with a vinegar solution. Would you agree with that, Nadia, or do you have a recipe that you use?
No, that sounds fantastic. I also have made a sudsy cleaner just with very diluted Castile soap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Castile soap is a good one just because it gets sudsy.
Yeah, so how does that one work? I'm just curious, Nadia.
It works okay. You have to get the ratio right. If you put too much Castile soap, it leaves what do you call them? Like water spots on the glasses.
So what's your recipe?
Well, it's not. I don't have a recipe written down, but it's really. Yeah. I would say like in a about an 8-ounce glass, maybe just 2 or 3 teaspoons of Castile soap, and then the rest filled up with water. And you can judge it by, you want it to suds up. That's what you're looking for. That's what we're all used to, is that sudsing action. So make sure that you have enough Castile soap to let it suds, but you don't need more than that.
Okay.
So just as dilute as you can get it, where you can still get suds.
Okay. Laurie wants to know, what brand of essential oils do you use?
Nadia, you were talking about essential oils.
I get mine from a company called Mountain Rose Herbs, which is a company out of Eugene, Oregon in America, and they have an online website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any suggestions for good clean companies? Laura's asked. I was going to suggest that a good health food shop would have the best.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, what do you know of good companies? Yeah, go ahead, Janine.
I think it's a little bit complicated to say just because we have an international group, and so it's really hard considering that we have people from America and Australia and all different types of countries. So unfortunately, there's not an international brand that I know of. So I would definitely recommend like health food stores and then just looking at the ingredients and looking at the different certifications to see if it's green and to see if you recognize the names of the ingredients on the product and things like that. And it's also a really good idea to research the product. So, I mean, these days you can look up anything. So if there's a product that you're interested in, you can always just go online and see how it's reviewed, how it's rated, and things like that.
Yeah, I find that the healthiest, most organic, natural, clean, conscious cleaning companies tend to be local. So, for example, I buy my soap from someone who makes it locally and sells it at the health food store, and they also make some cleaners out of things like vinegar and Castile soap that we're talking about. They just tend to be very local, mom-and-pop type of organizations. Do you guys agree?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, Dan, we'll bring you back in a little while. We do have a lot more information to cover on this webinar.
Okay.
So let's keep going if we can. And thank you for that. And we'll bring you back in just a little while. Let's talk about body products now, because this is a really big thing. As we talked about, for me, there's this saying that's always an eye opener for people. Anything you put on your skin is like putting in your body, is like eating it. To me, it's worse. It really is worse because it goes right into your bloodstream, whereas when you eat something, it may not make it into your bloodstream. Your body will break it down and eliminate it. But when you put it on your skin, it's going to go right into your bloodstream. So let's talk about some body products. Yeah. Go ahead.
I also find it fascinating that baby products, ingredients of baby products are also a lot different because they're somehow more sensitive for babies. And it's funny how we think that we're tougher, but we're just literally year after year, day after day, putting these products onto our skin. And so we might build up some kind of tolerance on the outside, but on the inside, it can just start to wreak havoc with our hormones and things like that.
And there's just so much unconsciousness. For example, what is the rationale for bleaching toilet paper or tampons? It doesn't, the bleach is caustic to our body. It goes into our body when we make contact in those areas. And what are we getting out of that? what is the benefit to us as consumers?
Right.
Except the fact that we're unconscious and we like pretty, white, clean things. And I think it's up to us to become a little more conscious about these things, to save our body. We get nothing out of an experience like that. Having bleach on our toilet paper gives us nothing. We get no benefit from that, and we get lots of downsides. So.
Right, right. And just talking about how there's a cleaning product for everything, there's also a body product for everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have all of these different products for our skin and for hair and everything. So body products are things that include lotions, shampoos, sunscreen, toothpaste, soap, makeup. These are the things that we put onto our skin just as soon as we wake up in the morning. So these things, a lot of people are having skin allergies from the products that we put onto our body, and they can also enter the bloodstream. So the basic rule of thumb is if you wouldn't eat it, don't put it on your skin, and don't forget about toothpaste and lipsticks when it comes to this.
For sure, for sure. Okay, so let's start with shampoos and soaps then.
Okay, so the idea is that shampoo and soap should clean us and not introduce more toxins into our system. So it's kind of one of those things where we think that we're doing something good for our bodies, and yet we're doing the opposite. So for skin, you really want to go into the kitchen and start grabbing your salts, your baking soda, your honey, your oats. These things are delicious, they're fun, they're safe. And so these are just things that are naturally occurring, and they're antibacterial, they're exfoliants, and so they can really help clean and scrub your skin. And you're not going to get any of the downsides with all the chemical products. And one of the things that I really like to do, and I think that Nadia does as well, is to dry brush. And so for anyone who doesn't know what dry brushing is, it's basically like a hairbrush. It's with natural natural hairs, and you brush your skin with it before you get into the shower. And this used to actually be a really common practice a really long time ago that kind of fell away as showers became more available, readily available, versus just having a bowl of water to bathe with. But dry brushing is a really great way to bluff off dead skin cells. So it helps rejuvenate the skin. It also helps the lymphatic system, and it also helps with circulation. So it's a great way to kind of get clean before you even get into the shower, and it kind of preps your skin. And then after that, one of the biggest things that I know that Nadia and I both like are oils. So to clean oil with oil. And so especially for the face, a lot of times what I do is I've created a mixture about 90% olive oil and 10% castor oil. And if you have drier skin, you can add more olive oil. If you have more greasy, oily skin, you can add more castor oil percentage. And you can rub it into your face. And then with a warm washcloth, you can gently wipe it off after a couple of minutes. And I also put in a couple of drops of lavender essential oil. So it gives me like a whole spa experience, and my skin is absolutely glowing afterwards. And it's never caused me to break out. It helps with wrinkles and fine lines. So your skin feels absolutely gorgeous after that. So you can also bathe that way, but I generally just use it for the face.
Nice. So Nadia, what's your favorite type of soap shampoo that you make?
For shampoo, I have been for years now, all I use is apple cider vinegar and water. So I haven't used any store-bought shampoos or sudsy anything in my hair in probably 3 or 4 years. And basically all I do is I take a cup with me in the shower, and before I get in there, I put just about a half inch or so of apple cider vinegar in the bottom of the cup. I bring it into the shower with me, and when I'm completely finished my shower, I wash my hair with my fingertips. I get in there and massage my scalp with my fingertips really well, and get the water rinsed my hair with the water really well. And then at the end, just fill up that cup with water in the shower and use that as a final rinse. And that's all I've done for years.
It's kind of amazing, Nadia, isn't it? I mean, there's so many different products out there, shampoo products with ingredients that we can't even pronounce, let alone we know what's in there, and that can cost, you know, all kinds of money, and apple cider vinegar does the job, and there's no toxins. It's pretty
right,
amazing.
And I'll just mention that for my entire life, my hair was really hard to manage, and ever since I've been doing this for the last several years, it's more manageable than it ever has been in my entire life.
Cool. You know, I just also, every once in a while, I keep my hair really short, but every once in a while it gets a little bit longer, and I like to put just kind of like a gel in it to keep it in place if I'm going to do a talk or something like that. And it really started to bother me that there's just all these toxins that I was putting in my hair as a hair gel. And then I found from the health food store a hair gel that was super, super effective. And the ingredients were just really high quality saturated fats, like coconut oils and palm oils and then vitamin E, you know, different vitamin E extracts. And the hold was fabulous, and you know, it's actually really nutritious for the body to have those fats. They last a long time. They're all healthy, organic, cold pressed.
Right.
That did a great job, and that nourished my scalp rather than putting all kinds of toxins on your scalp every day. We just kind of take it for granted. We just put this product in our hair. We go out to work, and that's it.
Right. I used to make a hair gel out of using flax seeds, and you just basically let the gel from the flax seeds end up in the water by soaking it, and then you strain out the solid flax material, add a little bit of essential oil, and my husband used to use that when his hair was longer, and it worked really well as well.
Nice. Okay. Let's talk about conditioners a little bit.
Definitely. So before we had commercial conditioners, my mom, for example, she used mayonnaise and egg whites, and those were things to use to condition your hair. And like you were saying, the gel that you bought, that's also something that helped condition your hair. And so we intuitively knew how to make our hair soft and shiny, and it was not through chemicals. It was through natural food products. Wow. And so every time we shampoo with a commercial shampoo, we strip our hair of all of its natural oils. And so it can lead our scalp to reproduce more oil to try to compensate. And so this is why we need to add in conditioner, because it becomes this cyclical process of stripping our hair and then having to replenish and then strip and replenish. And so this whole idea with the whole baking soda and water to wash and apple cider vinegar to rinse, it can really, really help break that cycle, and it'll help the natural oils in your scalp to come out into your hair follicles, and it helps hair become more manageable. It definitely sounds very, very out there for a lot of people who've never done this before. What I can say is just experiment and see what works for you. And because this stuff doesn't work for everybody, but I've definitely experimented with it, and I've gone through phases, and it's something that I always come back to, just because it's simple and it's so easy. And I, for example, Nadia's been doing this for 4 years. I can't even imagine how much money she has saved to take fabulous holidays and to do. And also, that type of money can go towards buying better quality food products. Yeah. So when we talk about how organic food is expensive, there's ways that we can save a ton of money and then put that money back into our food.
Yeah. So, Nadia, this is the type of conditioner that you use then, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly what I use. When I first started, I used to do the baking soda and water first and then the apple cider vinegar, but I stopped that after a few weeks and have just been doing apple cider vinegar and water since.
Yep, great. Okay, let's talk about sunscreens. You know, this is a very controversial subject, and when you really look at the research, there's not a lot of support for the concept that sunscreens are actually doing anything for you. If you go to Joseph Mercola's site, mercola.com, he's got hundreds and hundreds of articles and review reports about research articles about how important the sun is and how ineffective sunscreens are. I had him explain it to me when I interviewed him, how there's different types of vitamin D and how sunscreens tend to, different types of ultraviolet rays.
UV.
Yeah, so there's different types of UVs, ultraviolet rays. Some of them are important for producing vitamin D, and some of them are harmful because they can cause mutations. What he is saying is that the sunscreens actually filter out the important ones that we need to produce vitamin D, which is essential for weight loss and reducing inflammation, and they allow in the harmful ones that can produce mutations. So they basically do the exact opposite of what they're meant to do. Not only that, because they're so toxic, when the sun hits them, that can cause mutations on your skin too, which can actually lead to cancer. So skin cancer is a real issue, what's causing it and what helps prevent it is very, very controversial. And there's a lot of information that it may not be the sunscreens that help prevent it, but it may be detoxifying like you're doing right now, because it's the toxins and the sugar in your system that the toxins cause the mutations. Because the sun hits your skin and there's lots of toxins on your skin and that causes a mutation. And then the high processed food diet is where a cancer thrives. And a high stress lifestyle is a situation where your body doesn't produce the reparative hormone. So you've got this perfect storm, in a sense, of mutations coming in, an environment of processed foods where cancer's thriving, and a stress environment where you're unable to produce the reparative hormones. And that, more than anything, is what's causing the skin cancer, not so much the sun in and of itself. Sun is essential for producing vitamin D, which we need to reduce inflammation and for many different things, and not the least of which is weight loss. All that being said, there are effective ways to make sunscreens that are not toxic, so that if you do want to protect yourself from the sun, and it's important to do that when you're getting too much sun, you can do it in a way that's not toxic. So, Janine, let's talk a little bit about that, if we can, and Nadia.
Definitely. So it is a very, very difficult issue, because we've been told our entire lives that if we don't use sunscreen, then we can get skin cancer, et cetera. And that is definitely true, where if you do spend too much time in the sun and you burn, it can be very detrimental to our skin and to our health. And so the question is, how do we put on something that is protective without also being dangerous for our skin? And so it's very difficult. I definitely recommend everyone doing their own research on this to make sure that they make the decision that best fits them. But that being said, there are a lot of natural sunscreens out there that you can find at health food stores, and they include zinc. Zinc is a really protective ingredients.
Yeah, just natural zinc. Like if I ever use sunscreen for myself or my daughter, I just use zinc, and I make sure that the only ingredient, zinc oxide is the only ingredient, because a lot of sunscreens say sun protection 30, zinc, and then you read it, and there's the whole list of things that you can't pronounce. But you can get just zinc oxide, and that's probably the most effective. And it's really good in Australia because we're low on zinc anyway in Australia because there's no zinc in our food supply. So it's actually a great thing to put on your skin because you're absorbing zinc in a assimilatable way. So that to me is a really, really effective one, but just pure zinc oxide.
Exactly. And zinc as well is a something that our body needs for a strong immune system as well as vitamin D. So we need the sun to get that vitamin D, and then zinc can also help for a strong immune system and to block those UV rays that are dangerous to our skin. That also being said, you also need to look at your own skin pigmentation and what's best for your own color of skin. So I'm very, very fair. And so my skin takes less time to absorb the vitamin D that my body needs.
Right.
And someone else who has who's darker, their body can handle more sun naturally, and it does take more time for the vitamin D to penetrate their skin.
Yeah.
So it's something that is important to realize that if you are more fair skinned, that find shade and get the sunshine for the vitamin D. But beyond that, you really do want to protect your skin from too much sun.
So I'm also fair skinned, Janine, and basically 15 minutes of exposing my body to the sun a day is perfect. So what I usually do is I will, like, when the sun's, even in the wintertime when the sun's out and it's midday, I will go for a walk on the beach. I will walk about 5 to 7, I will take my shirt off, I'll walk about 5 to 7 minutes in one direction and 5 to 7 minutes in the other direction. Like, I'm baking both sides basically, and that is perfect. If it's any more, I feel it. But one important point is, on the flip side of that, is if your skin is darker, it's actually really important that you spend more time in the sun, because your skin is not picking up as much vitamin D. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why people with darker skin tend to develop type 2 diabetes and pretty quickly under certain situations, because they're not getting enough vitamin D. Vitamin D does help reduce insulin resistance, which is type 2 diabetes. So a lot of times if you're indoors all the time, or if you're in a northern climate, you're not getting sun, if you have darker skin, you're going to feel it more than if you have lighter skin.
Exactly.
So you've
and
got
there's also a lot of
yeah.
food.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Sorry, I was going to say there's a lot of foods that can also help with skin protection. And so there's cacao, blueberries, oranges, watermelon, stewed potatoes, carrots, spinach, apricots, fish, orange, and yellow peppers. So these are all foods that are very Gabriel Method friendly, and these are all things that help protect your skin from the sun as well.
I would add to that.
Some people...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just want to add to that. I would add to that chia seeds. And if you can, sometimes the skin, lemon or orange skin, if you understand why these things are good for you, the reason they're good for you is because they have antioxidants, which help neutralize the free radicals of the that are caused by the ultraviolet rays. But the reason they have antioxidants is because they're protecting themselves from the sun. So things like cacao, blueberries, and especially cacao and chia seeds, and goji berries, and things that are an acai berry. These are things that typically have lots and lots of antioxidants. And the reason they have lots of antioxidants is because they're grown in the Andes, high up in the mountains. That's where they're from. That when you're high up in the mountains, the air is thinner and there's more ultraviolet rays. So in order for the seed to protect itself, or the berry or the seed to protect itself, it's producing more ultraviolet, it's producing more antioxidants. Those antioxidants actually protect that seed. So when we eat it, we get the antioxidants.
Exactly.
And protects our body. So foods that are grown in high climates as well, so seeds and berries, and also watermelon, like if you're juicing and it's an organic lemon, or even an orange, you want to put the skin in there, because it's going to have that's where the antioxidants are in the fruit. It's in the skin because it's protecting the fruit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Okay. So let's talk about deodorants. You know, I use a deodorant by Weleda, which is a health, you know, you're asking about healthy skin products. So Weleda is an international company. I think they're made in either Germany or Switzerland. Kind of expensive because they're shipped all over. But most of their products are really natural. And I use this citrus deodorant from them. But my my ex-wife just develops her own citrus deodorant using lemon and essential oils, and that's really effective. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, deodorants a lot of times they include aluminum. And
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Unfortunately, when aluminum gets into our body has a hard time expelling it, and so it can accumulate, and so a lot of times there's issues with potential links with cancer and Alzheimer's and things like that. So the other thing to remember is that we sweat for a reason, and
right.
Even though it's very attractive in this day and age, but we need to eliminate toxins, and when we disrupt this sweat process, it makes all of the rest of our body work harder. So even if we kind of plug up our armpits, we're going to sweat from other places, and our body really needs to release and eliminate these toxins. So sweating is not a bad thing, and so, of course, like, it can be unsightly, so, or it can be odorous, and so the point is that the cleaner you eat, a lot of times it can also lessen the body odor naturally, and so it allows for these types of natural products to work quite well, just using, like you were saying, this product. There's a lot of DIY recipes out there with coconut oil. You can just rub plain coconut oil on your skin, or you can make a paste or add some essential oils, and usually that works quite well.
So Nadia, what's your DIY secret for deodorants and antiperspirants?
Mine is very, very simple. Along with a cleaner diet, I just use a salt rock. So just a salt rock,
that's
and
right.
You just run it under.
Yeah,
and you just run it under water to get it wet, and then rub that on your arm. And I use that every day if I need it. Oftentimes, I will sometimes just use, like Janine mentioned, coconut oil with some essential oils added into it. Or just a homemade lotion that I make, I'll put some of that under my arms. But basically, the salt rock is what I turn to.
Nice. Okay, what about toothpastes?
So it says on the label, if you accidentally swallow more than more than you're supposed to brush with, you need to seek professional help or contact a poison control center immediately.
Yeah,
and somehow, I don't know why this doesn't click. That
yeah, it doesn't. So many things that we're just unconscious about. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, for example, when you have children, a lot of times you have to monitor how much toothpaste they're putting on for these
That's
types
true.
Of reasons.
That's a really good point.
And
That's
so,
something
yeah.
On.
So
yeah.
It's something where we're trying to clean ourselves, and yet we're having to monitor if we're eating too much.
As we become aware of the fact that there's just toxins anywhere, I'm hoping that as a world, as a community, that we're slowly, hopefully quickly, but at least slowly getting conscious of the fact that there's just toxins in everything that doesn't have to be. You know, I posted a comment that Jane Goodall, the anthropologist, made, and it was just so obvious. She goes, how could we ever have thought that it was a good idea to put poisons in the food we grow? And I'm thinking, it's so obvious. It's so simple. And so, you know, and like we say, well, why would we put bleach in our toilet paper? And why are we putting toxins in our toothpaste and in our sunscreens and in our cleaners? Why are we doing this? Well, I mean, in the beginning, I think we went through this period of time in the 20th century where we just thought that chemicals were God. You know, we just thought we can blow anything up with a chemical. We can do, we understood the atom, and we just thought we were God, basically. We just knew what we were doing, and we just kept throwing them in and throwing them in. And then I think the chemical companies started to get really rich, and they're like, hang on a second, you know, we need to continue to create a need for ourselves. So, you know, they would spend a lot of money on advertising and on lobbying and things like this so that we kept it in our in our subconscious that we have to have these things. You have to have something for a ring around the collar and all of these different things. And it's really this simple. I mean, look at this DIY toothpaste, a little bit of tea tree oil and peppermint, essential oils and a little Castile soap. That to me is a perfect DIY toothpaste. And it's just so simple and obvious.
Yeah, this is Nadia's DIY toothpaste.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing because it is, we always need a little bit of extra help to help our teeth and gums be healthy. But also just, again, with the diet that you consume, limiting sugar intake and soda and all of these types of things, that's really, really important because you're going to remove the things that are eroding your teeth and causing cavities. And so, and with the tea tree oil, it's antibacterial. And with all of these different types of soaps and oils, they're going to help remove the bad bacteria from your mouth, but you also need to have a friendly ecosystem. So if we put too much in there, then we're kind of like, again, creating chaos.
You know, yeah. So, and let's talk about makeup. So we're putting this right on our skin. And, you know, my daughter's now 13, and I'm watching her put makeup on every day. And I, as a father, I can't really say anything because I know it's just going to be the opposite of whatever I say. So I got to watch this. But what I'm watching is her just getting this from everywhere. You know, her magazines, her TV, you know, from her friends, the older people that she models. This idea that you got to put paint on your body. And I think maybe there's a couple of reasons why we do this, but it's worth questioning why we do this. And certainly, if you're living a detoxifying lifestyle in general, where there's not many toxins in your body, your skin's going to look amazing and as good as it can look. And I think one of the reasons why we want makeup is to hide all the toxins that are trying to come out of our skin anyway. And then we're putting even more toxins on our skin. So what's a good solution there?
So one thing we do need to remember is that makeup should enhance our natural beauty and not destroy it. So again, if we're putting highly chemical products onto our skin, then it's going to affect our long-term beauty. And so it's a thing where it might be covering up for the short term, it might be affecting us long term and creating more skin issues. And so the most important thing is what you put on your mouth, so lipsticks and lip glosses, because you actually if you do this every day, you're going to be eating these things just in tiny little bits. But if you wear them every day, it's something that you're going to be consuming. So for makeup, there's a lot of good natural makeup brands out there. I know that I follow Chris Carr, and she always has really, really great makeup tips for anyone who loves to wear makeup. And so they're really, really high quality products, and they're natural, and they're from reputable companies. And so I definitely recommend anyone to research the type of things that you're going to put on your skin, because you want to make sure that you enhance your natural beauty for years to come, and it's not something where you have to cake on more because your face starts to show more signs of aging because we're putting these harsh chemicals on it.
Yeah. So, Nadia, what are your thoughts on makeup?
Yeah, I keep it very simple. I really don't use makeup at all. I do make a salve using an alkanet root. Alkanet is a plant that has a pretty blue flower, and the root, if you infuse it in oil, it creates this beautiful deep red color in the oil. And I use that oil, turn it into a salve, and I'll use that on my lips, on my cheeks, on my eyelids, when I want to decorate my face. You know, it is fun to play and to decorate your face. And if you look back to tribal cultures, we've been painting our skin for a long time with, you know, berries and different foods that put those dyes on our skin. So it is fun to do it. And I just look to do it in ways that I can know what the ingredients are and make it myself, because I don't really want to spend a lot of money on those really expensive ones that you can buy.
Well, something if you're using berries or flowers or roses, you know, things like that, that's actually super healthy for you. But unfortunately, what we're buying is not that. So.
Yeah, and they're healthy, they're nourishing for your skin. And then other things are, I make sure I get sun every day, because when your skin is kissed by the sun, it has a natural glow. And then along with drinking a lot of water, eating well, and then cleansing my face with really nice products that Janine has mentioned already, you know, all of that gives you a really nice glow too, and you don't really have the need for so much makeup.
Yeah. All right, this is a really big one we don't question at all, is cookware. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so cookware can contaminate the very food that you are cooking with. And so it's something where we're trying to eat well and to trying to eat food that is nutrient dense, and yet we can contaminate it just by our pots and our pans. And so it's very important to try to avoid cookware with Teflon, especially Teflon, and also nonstick PFOA and anything with aluminum, anodized aluminum and cast aluminum, because again, we don't want aluminum around or near our food.
Yeah, and most of them, I just want to say, Jane, I did some research recently because I was buying cookware, and most of them that have any kind of low stick type of thing or stick resistant type of thing have some sort of aluminum or what you're calling anodized aluminum in them.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's something to just keep an eye out for. And stainless steel is probably the best option. Cast iron is also a really, really great option. The reason I put four women in here is just because if you do use cast iron every single day, the iron is going to absorb into the food, which is not a problem. We do need iron to be healthy, functioning humans, but at the same time, the only way for our body to expel iron is via blood. So for women, we do that on a monthly basis, and for men, they do not. And so it's just kind of good to keep in mind that women need a little bit more influx of iron than men do. Men definitely do need iron, but not as much. So just something to keep in mind. And then for high-quality ceramic cookware is great, except for the fact that it doesn't last very long.
Okay.
You can also start to chip off and things like that. It's not necessarily toxic, but it doesn't last long.
you bring a good point about the iron, but everything I use is cast iron. And just cast iron and nothing else. So it's not cast iron with ceramic on top or any kind of coating on top, because that coating goes away real quick. So on the one hand, it's not as stick free, or but you can really, really scrub it, and you don't have to worry about the surface being broken. So I like that about it. And I do it in two ways. One is I have like a big cast iron pot that I cook things in. I'll put it, like when I make, for example, a chili, or the latest eggs I made in my support group, there'll be a little bit of water, a little bit of ghee, and I'll boil the vegetables down, and then I'll scramble the eggs in, or put in some ground beef or some animal protein, and make things that way. And then I've just got this flat cast iron pan. It's not even a pan. It's just a flat rectangular thing that goes on the top of the stove.
Like a grill.
Like a flat grill, yeah. And that's what I do most of my cooking with. And I love it. You can scrape it. You can do it however you want to clean it. You don't have to worry. I put a little bit of ghee on it usually, and that works really well.
Yeah,
so Nadia,
definitely a great option.
Well, Nadia, what are your thoughts with cookware?
We use stainless steel.
Stainless steel. Okay. Do you find that it's tough? It's tough to keep that clean, because
What I learned a new tip this past year, and with stainless steel, if you need to heat it up first, so you don't ever want to put your food in before the pan is hot. And since I've been doing that, it's really, really easy to clean. Right. Nothing sticks to the bottom, and I have no problems at all.
And so why do you use stainless steel as opposed to cast iron?
No reason. It's what it was actually the wedding gift that we got when we got married, and that's what I've used ever since.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Now let's talk about plastics, because we're loaded with plastics everywhere, as we know.
So we've definitely heard about BPA, and we always look for plastics now that are BPA free. And so it's something where, again, a plastic is everywhere. It's an industry that has blown up from the 70s. And it's been incredibly useful all over the planet, but to the point where we are using way too much of it. And now, for example, if scientists look at our blood, they are finding that we have plastic in our blood, and it's causing infertility. It's causing all sorts of issues. So how you store your food is also important. And so we really recommend that you store food, spices, leftovers, anything into glass containers or jars. And so you can kind of eliminate this issue of plastic altogether.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Janine. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that just even for leftovers, to choose glass when you can't BPA-free plastic, but never heat that up in the microwave with a plastic container. Again, we don't really recommend microwaves, but if you're going to have something in BPA-free plastic, just don't stick it in the microwave because, again, the heat can transfer that plastic to our food.
Yeah, now, Nadia, you had talked about getting lots of mason jars to store your juices in. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we use in our house. We use them as drinking glasses and for storage. And another thing about the plastic is a lot of people have plastic bottles of water, and make sure that those aren't sitting out in the sun or sitting in your car and then you're drinking them, because that will leach a lot of plastic into the water.
You know, one thing they have, there's a couple of different, I'm finding both in the U.S. and Australia, there's a couple of different bottled waters that are glass that you can get at your supermarket. So there's one called Boss, B-O-S-S, and then the other is Panin or something like that. They're not too expensive. They're, like in the U.S., for example, where a bottled water might be $1.50, or $1.80, they might be $3, something like that. But for the extra $1.20, you're getting glass, and you can leave that in the sun. You can leave it in your car. You can do whatever you want with it because it's glass, and it makes such a humongous difference in your body because you don't get all those endocrine disruptors and hormonal disruptors from the plastic. So that's all I do. When I was just in Sydney 2 weeks ago, I would go. I just kept getting bottled water. You're also not destroying the environment. So every 2 days or so, I get maybe 5 or 6 bottles of water and bring them home, and that's what I pretty much use. Okay, so let's just recap here, if we can, Janine, of what it is we're trying to accomplish.
So we want to find non-toxic alternatives. So non-toxic home and bath products are definitely more available in local grocery stores, which is great. So if people don't have access to health food stores, there's a lot of local grocery stores, more and more. They're hopping on the bandwagon, and that's great. So you want to find a brand that has no added unnatural fragrances, chlorine, phosphate, or fillers. And you want to look for green products. Usually they'll say something along the lines of being green, and non-toxic cleaners. So there's a ton of them out there. We just need to kind of open our eyes to see which ones are available to us. And we want to say no to chlorine, to alcohol, to triclosan, to triclocarbon, lye, glycol, ethers, or ammonia. Those are just very, very toxic substances to put on our skin or to breathe in. And we want to choose safer products that are petroleum-free, biodegradable, phosphate-free, VOC-free, and solvent-free. There's so many other things to look out for, but these are kind of the top things to kind of keep an eye out for.
All right, and let's recap on some good DIY cleaning products.
So I think Nadia and I are in agreement that baking soda and vinegar solve everything. So this is a great one. You can use it on your skin. You can use it in the shower. You can use it for your kitchen. You can use it for cleaning. You can use it for basically anything. So it's so cheap. It's so easy. And you basically want to store them separately because there is a chemical reaction. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about your all-purpose spray cleaner, Nadia.
Yeah, that's on the next slide, and it's very easy. Just get thyme, so either fresh or dry, put it in a jar, a glass jar, and then fill it up with white vinegar and let it steep. You're kind of making you're making a tea, really, using the vinegar. Let it steep for 24 hours all the way up to 2 weeks. The vinegar will turn pink. Strain out the thyme, put it in a spray bottle, and that's your cleaner. Very, very easy to make, very cheap, very affordable, and it works amazing.
And that's your all-purpose cleaner, basically, right?
That's the all-purpose cleaner.
So what do you not use this cleaner for, just to be clear?
we use it for everything. We use it for countertops. We use it to clean our appliances. We use it to clean the mirrors and windows, clean the sink in the bathroom, clean the shower. In the toilet bowl, we'll use straight vinegar, which actually this is straight vinegar too, because we don't dilute it. So we could use this in the toilet as well. Pretty much everything.
And the thyme, what's the purpose of the thyme?
Thyme is antibacterial and antimicrobial. Okay. It's a very good, it has very good disinfectant properties.
And if we wanted it to have a specific type of odor, like lemon or something like that, can we use some essential oils?
Exactly.
Lemon or orange or something like that?
Yep. And essential oils, you get a good quality one, and they're a little bit expensive, but they go a long way because you only need a few drops to create that really nice scent.
Right. Okay. And, you know, when we do this webinar, a lot of times we're left with this feeling like, oh, my God, you know, it's hopeless. There's just toxins everywhere. But let's talk about some recap on some really simple things we can do that can make a huge, huge difference. And to me, it's the 80-20 rule. You know, you just do a couple of things and it's going to make 80% of the difference if you just do a couple of 20% changes here. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I dove in way too fast when I made all of these changes.
I can see that. Part of your personality. You love to do things absolutely great, you know, so I can imagine that it could have driven you crazy.
And so it was like a massive madhouse, and I was just like, I felt like a mad scientist in the kitchen and making all these concoctions and things like that. And it was a fun process, and some things worked and some didn't. So the most important thing is don't stress, because stress raises cortisol. So it's good to start with a couple of things. So start with the things that you put into your mouth. So toothpaste, mouthwash, lipstick.
Okay, can I stop you for 1 second?
Et cetera.
Jeanine, let me just stop. We didn't talk about mouthwash. Let's talk about that. What would you recommend, or Nadia, what would you recommend as a mouthwash? Let's start with you, Jeanine, and then I'll ask Nadia.
Sure. So mouthwash, there's a couple of things. You can do salt water if you get like a nice Himalaya salt, which has lots of minerals and things like that. You can mix it with some warm water, and you can gargle that, and that's super healing for the mouth. And helps with bacteria and stuff as well. Because the whole point of mouthwash is to remove the bacteria so that you don't have bad breath. It's not to mask bad breath. It's to help you not have it to begin with.
That's true.
To heal your mouth. And then there's, I think there's, Nadia, you have one with some peppermint or something?
Yeah, if you want we're used to that pepperminty fresh taste in our mouthwash. So if you want that, you can use peppermint essential oil and just put a drop in your salt water, or you can put a drop in, you can put baking soda in water, mix it up, and then put a drop in there.
It's such amazingly practical advice, really, because think about it. When we buy a mouthwash, okay, we're buying a plastic bottle that's going to last for thousands of years with a plastic cap that we wouldn't even know what to do with. There's all these toxins we're putting in our mouth. And all we need is some salt water and a couple of drops of essential oil, mint essential oil. So is that basically what we're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we start with our mouth, what we put in our mouth, then what we put in our skin. So we talked about different
makeup, body care. Yeah, soaps, everything that you put onto your skin on a daily basis.
This makes a lot of sense.
There's 365 days in a year, and we do this year after year. So it's important to think about what you put onto your skin. For instead of lotions, for example, coconut oil is such a great go-to. So you can put that on your face. You can put it on your body. You can use it for anything. So that's always a great, simple
trick. Let me just add to that for 1 second, Jeanine. So what I find, and Nadia, I don't know if you find this also, that when I'm detoxing, my skin gets drier. And it responds really well to putting coconut oil in while I'm detoxing. I find that feels really good on my skin. Have you experienced that with people that you've worked with or yourself, Nadia, when you detox?
Dry skin can certainly happen. A lot of different things can happen to our skin when we're cleansing, and coconut oil is an amazing remedy for that. It's moisturizing, and it's very, very healing for the skin. Dry skin brushing as well, not over broken skin, but on your healthy skin is very good for that too.
Right. So we're starting with what we put in our mouth, then what we put in our skin, and then cooking, how we're cooking food.
What you're cooking with and what you're preparing your food with. So these can be the bigger investments financially, because you can switch a lot of the other stuff to vinegar and baking soda. But it can be quite costly to switch over all of your cookingware. So a good tip is just to switch over one of your most common pots and pans that you use and see if you can upgrade just one of those. And then slowly you can purchase more so that you can have a whole set. But it's so important to prepare your food with good quality pots and pans and store them in glass. And then lastly, think about your household cleaners, detergents, and other household chemicals. This one is probably the easiest one to switch over because you can just substitute it for vinegar and baking soda. But at the same time, the thing that's most important would be the things that you put in or near your mouth.
Right. Awesome. And I love this note. This is to me, this is the most important thing, because I just like you experienced, you can go crazy trying to be perfect once you realize the toxins that are everywhere. And it's better, sometimes it's better even not to realize it, but pick and choose your battles. I like that advice. I do what I can. Sometimes I do buy mouthwash. Not often, but sometimes I'll do buy household cleaners, and sometimes I won't. Sometimes I use plastic bags, and sometimes I remember to bring a box or a regular bag. So pick into this is the most important thing. Every step that you take is a huge step, and just do what you can, because you're starting from where you are right now, and you can only go up. Is that right, Janine?
Yeah, and it's sometimes what I'll do is I'll alternate. So I have a big addiction to shampoo. So maybe one time I'll use I'll buy a bottle of shampoo, more of a commercial one that's natural, organic, but it's still not 100% great. And then the next time I'll use vinegar and things like that. So sometimes I'll do like one time yes, one time not, one time yes.
Yeah.
And right there, you're already cutting your consumption by 50%.
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
So that's already a lot.
So I think
one of
the
things where.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just one of those things where it doesn't have to be all the time. We are very busy people, but when you start to put this into your daily routine, it becomes easier and easier. So,
yeah.
So it's totally okay if you trip up. It's totally okay if it doesn't work for you all the time. Just do what you can, and slowly it'll start to become a habit, just
right.
Like everything else.
Right. Like the things for me that have stuck is I'm always going to use a healthy healthy deodorant, healthy sunscreen, toothpaste, healthy cookware. You know, these are things that are always there for me, and I'm easing into cleaning products and household products and things like that. And so I think even with food, we have a tendency, you know, when we start learning how to eat healthy, don't have it be all or none, and oh my God, my chia seeds aren't organic or whatever it is. But when we realize that all we're ever doing is improving, and every step we make is an improvement, when we take that position, then it becomes less stressful. Do you agree, Nadia?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You don't want to stress yourself out. That's just going, you know, creating more issues inside of your body. So relax with it all. Just take it one thing at a time. And, you know, you have improvement is a lifelong journey. You don't have to be perfect overnight. Just constantly keep the awareness at the front of your mind.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent webinar, Janine and Nadia. Your information is stellar. It's really, really great. It's eye-opening for all of our listeners. And for me, this is the third time we've done this webinar, and it is always an eye-opener. Yeah. So I really appreciate that very much. We do have some questions that and a few minutes that we can bring people in. So or bring questions in. So let's bring Dan in and see if we can answer some of those if we can.
Hi everybody.
Hi Dan.
Hi. Okay. I have obviously questions to do with this webinar, but also some questions to do with just detox reactions. So I'll ask
yes.
them at the end.
Laura.
Yeah. Sorry.
Let's start with the detox ones, actually.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because I know that's a big thing for people right now in day two.
Okay. Lisa asks, could a foot bath be done using apple cider vinegar?
I don't know because I don't think that certainly wouldn't hurt, but the key ingredient in the foot bath that I was describing is that it actually has an electrode device that creates a negative ion charge in the water, and it's the negative ion charge in the water that sucks the positive ions out. So that's a very specific type of thing, that detox foot bath. And if you can do it, great. I haven't done one in years, but I did do one. I did do a series of them once when I was detoxing, and I really enjoyed them.
Okay, thank you. Carla asks, does anyone know why beans and lentils are not that good for you?
They're starchy. They're really, really good if you sprout them. So when you sprout something, the starch gets eaten up. It also becomes more digestible. So all beans and lentils have enzyme inhibitors on them, so you have to cook them typically just to eat them, as we know. But when you cook them, they become very starchy, whereas when you sprout them, the starch gets eaten by the sprout itself, and you're left with a very you also break down all the enzyme inhibitors because it's growing now. It's the whole point of the enzyme inhibitors is to protect the seed to get to the point where it can grow. So now the seed is growing. It's doing what it's meant to be doing. It's full of nutrients. It doesn't have starch. So when you're having beans and lentils, have them as sprouts. And you can have just as many sprouts as you can a bowl. If you're typically used to having a bowl of lentils or a bowl of beans, you can have a bowl of sprouts. I will have a bowl or two bowls of mung bean sprouts sometimes, or chickpea and lentil sprouts in my salad. And you're getting all the protein. You're getting more nutrients, more digestible, without the starch. The problem with the starch is the starch starts to elevate your insulin levels. Insulin is the fat-making hormone, and your body goes into fat-making mode. And not only does it go into fat-making mode, but because your insulin levels start to elevate over time, you lose the ability to burn fat. So it's not just that you're in fat-making mode making fat at that moment. You are losing the ability to burn fat. It's a vicious cycle. It's not certainly beans and lentils are the least of the culprits when it comes to starchy foods, because not that bad. And what's much worse are processed foods. But just as a refinement and handy tip, if you can get sprouts instead of cooked beans and lentils, it's going to make the process of losing weight much quicker and easier.
Okay, thank you. This is from a member from the chat roll, the Q&A section, and I thought it was an important question to ask. I'm halfway through my first day and I have severe diarrhea. Should I be worried? Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hand that over to you, Nadia, in 1 second. But I would just want to say that. No, I don't think you should be worried, because that is part of the detoxing process. You are changing the bacteria in your intestines. You are eliminating toxins, and that is actually really, really common to have all types of different reactions in terms of your movements. But that is definitely part of the detox experience. Well, what do you say, Nadia?
Yeah, and the thing with that is you just need to make sure that you're staying hydrated. So sip on water. I would suggest putting a pinch or two of sea salt in your water and sip on that. If you can sip on the broths and the teas and the other things like that, do that as well. If you have access to good coconut water, sip on that and make sure you're keeping yourself hydrated.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Elizabeth says, I'm feeling very hungry, lightheaded. I also have a headache and achy body. Is this all natural and will it pass?
This is all natural. It will pass, but I don't know how quickly it will pass for you necessarily, but you are experiencing classic detox symptoms. Stay very hydrated, and if you feel the need to eat, eat. Do not force yourself, because it could have a rebound effect for you. So don't really, really strain yourself. This is your first detox. Do what you can throughout the 5 days. Stay focused on having lots of super greens, lots of juices, lots of broths, your chia shakes, and then when you want solid food, have it, but keep the focus on the adding of the detox things and the liquids. You are having massive amounts of detoxing, and that means that it's very, very necessary, but at the same time, it may be happening a little bit too quickly. What do you say, Nadia?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So when you're doing a detox cleanse like this, there's two things happening. Your body is stirring up toxins, and then your body is moving to eliminate those toxins out of your system. If one thing is happening faster than the other, then you start to feel those uncomfortable feelings. So you need to do one of two things: help your body to eliminate the toxins faster, or else slow the detox down so that stirring up of toxins is slower so your body can keep up. And that all those suggestions you said, John, about, you know, having something to eat if you need to, and make sure that you are getting enough nutrients in, you are flushing enough by drinking enough water and all of the other liquids.
Yeah, if you decide to eat, it's no problem at all. But like we do everything in the Gabriel Method, we keep the focus on the positive. We keep the focus on adding. So you've eaten this, you've eaten that, it's no big deal. It's fine. You needed it. You needed to slow down the detox process. Not a problem at all. But do continue to have all the green juices that, you know, and all the super greens and whatever your routine is and your broths, whatever your routine is for getting nutrients into your body in a way that's not overtaxing your digestion, you will have a very positive experience. Even if it doesn't feel like it right now, my guess is the amount of toxins that you're moving through are substantial, and you will have a really positive benefit from that.
Okay. Kevin asks, I've had a little acid feeling in my stomach. Is that from the lemon and or apple cider vinegar? And do you have any suggestions to mitigate this?
I think that's part of detoxing, and you can experiment with that. I don't think it's the apple cider vinegar or the lemon, but you can experiment by not having that. Just have broths and teas and super greens or juices and see if that's how that is, or have the water without the lemon. What do you say, Nani?
Yeah, in my experience, that is quite common for a lot of people to have that sour feeling in their stomach. So I agree with you. Just experiment, take those things out and see if they help. But in my experience, it's usually just a lot of toxins being released and working to move through your system.
Okay. Yvette says, I bought dried stevia leaves the other day and I used them to infuse my tea today. Is that okay?
Beautiful. It's fine.
Yep.
Okay. Tanya says, so it's evening here and I started in the morning. I had a detox tea and cucumber celery juice, and she's put in brackets yuck, an omega drink. Attempted to do another celery cucumber, now drinking a Green Yap Johnny and omega juice. Does that sound okay? I don't know
beautiful.
What to make.
Let me just make it your own, whatever's working for you. Try adding either Himalayan salt or cayenne pepper to those juices, and it takes, my experience, it takes the yuck out of it. But whatever's working for you, have more of that. That sounds absolutely perfect. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, it's about practicing listening to your body. So if your body isn't liking something, look towards something else that you can have.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, that was the question. She says, I don't know what to make for a juice. So I thought maybe if you could give some suggestions.
You don't have to have a juice at all, for starters, okay? So you could have more broth. If you're having broth, you could have more super greens, you could have more chia shakes. But if you are going to have a juice, it's probably, I would either try putting putting some salt and some cayenne pepper into them to see if that takes the yuck out. Otherwise, you would experiment with something sweet, because that's what we're conditioned to. It's not preferable, but it can make it palatable. So a half of an apple, some carrot, or beet, you can experiment with that, a pear, something like that. But you don't have to have a juice. That's the important thing that we've been explaining throughout the process, is nothing has to happen. You don't have to have how do I make my juice? You don't need a juice in order to detox. What you need in order to detox is you need highly nutritious liquids that do not require a lot of digestion. That help the system detoxification, and you want lots of them. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yeah, and it is about trying to enjoy this process as much as possible. So you do want to enjoy what you're having. I don't want anybody to force something in that, you know, they don't like and that they feel is disgusting for them. Try and find things that you like. With the juices, there's, you know, like John said, you don't have to have the juice. And if you want to experiment with different types of juice, just look towards other greens that you can put in there and other things that you can add in, garlic and chili peppers and things like that, to make it taste something that would feel good to you.
Okay. Also, Dan, I just realized it's like probably about 3:30 in the morning in Barcelona, where Janine is, and she's hanging in there, And we probably should go back to some questions that are relevant to her. And I just want to check, Aaron, if you could send me a text and make sure we can go after 11:30 here. Typically, we have never gone over an hour and a half to make sure just functionality we can do that. But let's ask some questions also that we can that Janine can answer, and then we can let her go off to bed and wish her.
Laura says, is Dr. Bronner brand soap a good cleaning product?
I personally use it.
Okay.
I definitely use it. He's a very interesting person, but I really like his products. Yeah. I have some of his bar soaps and stuff like that in my bathroom right now. I bring them over from the United States. So, I think his products are quite good.
Okay.
Okay. Jacqueline wants to know what about shampoo for colored hair?
So
shampoo for colored hair. Actually, you want to take that one, Nadia?
Well, I was just going to say that sage has traditionally always been used for dark hair. And what I've done recently is I've infused apple cider vinegar with fresh sage leaves, and that's what I use instead of just plain apple cider vinegar. I use that in my hair. My hair is very dark. And traditionally, that's been used. It's kind of an old wives' tale that's always been used for dark hair. So that's just something I thought I'd mention.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Robin says, you're talking about using apple cider vinegar and water to shampoo hair. I'm African-American, and the texture of my hair is totally different. Do you think I can still use the apple cider vinegar and water on my hair as a shampoo?
I would say try it and see, and I'd also like to tell people that there is a transition period when you go off of commercial shampoos and start using apple cider vinegar or the baking soda method. It will take a little while. It took my hair a couple of weeks, where it'll go through being very, very dry and then very, very oily. It's almost like your hair has to reacclimatize to figuring out the amount of oil it needs to produce. So, correct. You know, just be aware of giving it some time, being patient.
Okay.
Okay. Debbie says, I need a good mosquito repellent. I work in the woods and have delicious blood, apparently.
By the way, your blood will become
me
less
too.
Delicious. Let me just say, your blood becomes less delicious over time as it gets cleaner. You know, you're actually, the mosquitoes like the sugar and all of the different things that are in our blood that make it more acidic. So you will be less attracted to mosquitoes over time through this detox process. I know citronella sprays are very effective. Janine, Nadia, what are your suggestions?
Actually, my mom always gave me supplementation for a vitamin B complex, so vitamin B6, 9, and 12. And so any time before I would go to camp for the summer, so about a week beforehand, she would start supplementing me with those, and it definitely helps my blood taste gross.
Yeah. Nobody likes the smell of taking the vitamin B. Like, you know those vitamin, like when you have vitamin B and there's that smelling and taste in your mouth? It must be the same thing with mosquitoes,
yeah.
You know, in your blood.
Exactly.
It doesn't taste good.
Something for me, it's definitely helped, because if I am so prone to getting mosquito bites, and I'm really allergic to them. And if anyone is around me, they're safe, because the mosquitoes will come to me. So, but the vitamin B complex definitely helps. So it's a natural way. And then, citronella has like a double side effect and stuff like that. There's definitely other DIY things on the internet as well that you can test out for yourself to see which ones work.
I haven't researched this, but I think that, you know, when you get a mosquito bite and you scratch it, that then attracts other mosquitoes to you. And I remember I was in Thailand one time, and there were mosquitoes everywhere, and I was getting bitten all the time. And I got bitten by a mosquito, and I said, no matter what I do, I'm not going to scratch it.
No,
and I just endured the pain. And I realized at that moment that there's actually nothing harder than resisting a mosquito bite. You know, and if you can do that, you can do anything. And it's actually made me really strong for resisting other things in my life. But when I did that, I got to the point where I had a couple more mosquito bites. I got really good at just totally ignoring it. And then the mosquitoes left me alone. So I'm just thinking that I think the scratching, you're opening up this, there's a, you know, you're, the smell of the skin and the bite.
The saliva of the bite as well. Yeah,
it attracts other mosquitoes. What are your thoughts, Nadia?
I make a mosquito repellent with a blend of essential oils that has been working really well for us for years. And, you know, I've got a blend of essential oils, but you can also just use citronella, like you mentioned, or lemongrass is another good one, and just put a few drops in water in a spray bottle and use that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. By the way, too, because I have young children, banana skin is really good for for mosquito bites. You rub it on.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to, yeah. Yeah. Takes away the inflammation and the itch. Yep.
Yeah, great idea.
You just need handy bananas, that's all.
Yeah.
Joe says, do you recommend supplementing vitamin D? I can't recall from the book.
No, I'm not a big... I'll just say that I'll hand it over to both of you in a second, but I'm just a really big believer of getting vitamin D from your food and from the sun. And I'm not sure that the vitamin D that you're having in supplement form is not always the exact vitamin D that you need. Also, another big thing that I read recently is it's not just whether or not you're getting vitamin D, it's whether you can convert that vitamin D into a usable form. And for that, one of the best things that you can eat is broccoli sprouts. Now, I remember I did a video blog about this, so those of you that are in the support group, you can check back maybe about a year ago. We talked about this, but broccoli sprouts are very high in something called sulforaphane. And sulforaphane is a molecule that actually helps you convert vitamin D, whether you're taking it as a supplement or from the sun, into the usable form that we actually need to help reduce inflammation. So having sunlight, having broccoli sprouts, having real food is the way I like to go with anything, any type of supplementation, unless we're talking about supplementing with healthy bacteria like probiotics and digestive enzymes, because we need those and we're not getting them in our food, and it's like a more the merrier type of thing. Whereas with pills, supplement pills is not always a more the merrier type of thing. Like when you take a zinc pill or a magnesium pill, a lot of it just goes right through you. When you take a vitamin D supplement, a lot of it is unusable and just goes right through you. So you want it in concert with lots of other things, including sunlight and healthy food. So I'll just hand that over to you, Janine, and then also to you, Nadia.
I definitely agree with you, John. The one thing I would say is for people who do live in countries where they are not able to get enough sun exposure, just for really long winters, or I know in a lot of northern European countries, a lot of people struggle to get enough vitamin D. So as a supplementation, I definitely agree with it. But again, it's a supplement. It's not a substitute. And so that's usually how supplements work. It's never to substitute the real thing, and it's just to help for the times where you can't get enough. So if you live in the northern places that you can't get enough sun, then supplements can help. It is definitely more difficult for your body to convert it and things like that, but it definitely can help, because there's also links between lack of vitamin D and depression and different things like that. And so it's always good to just check with your doctor to see how your vitamin D levels are doing, to make sure that you are getting enough vitamin D, and 100% sunshine, good healthy foods is definitely the way to go, and supplement when necessary.
Okay. Nadia, did you want to add to that at all?
You guys have said a lot of great things. I typically don't supplement with vitamin D. I like to turn towards my food and getting a lot of sun. Even if it's cloudy outside, I'll still go outside, and you can still get some sun through the clouds.
That's a great point, because the sun, even though we're not seeing it, we're still getting it from a nutritional standpoint. Our skin can still absorb it.
Right. And even in the wintertime, when I'm places where it's cold, I'll still try and get sun on as much of my naked skin. Sometimes it's just my face and my eyes. I'll do it inside. I'll open a window, take the screen out of the window, and sit in an inside room, but sit where the sun is coming into the window, so I can still get that sun.
Okay. So, Dan, do we have many more of the detox questions? And if so, let's ask Nadia one more, or Janine one more, and then we'll let her go, because it's later.
Okay, there's a few, so I'm just trying to work out. Janine, how do you feel about enamel cookware?
Enamel cookware?
Yeah.
I don't actually know that much about it. I'm assuming it's similar to ceramic cookware. Nadia, do you know more about enamel? Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what she's referring to by enamel.
I'm guessing that you're right, that it's like a ceramic coating on either an aluminum pan or a cast iron pan.
Okay.
I would just check. I think actually there's the popular brand is called like Cousette or something. I think that might be enamel. I would say generally okay. I would just check what it's made out of to see if there's any underlying layers of aluminum. And
there usually is.
So just to see if it's going to chip off over time and things like that. Just as far as functionality, if you have to rebuy pots and pans every couple of months, it might not be worth it. But there are some that can last quite a while. So it's just, I don't think enamel is necessarily bad.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We'll just, yeah, sorry. Can I just ask one? And then we'll let you go to sleep, Janine. What about laundry detergent?
Yeah.
Sonia says, I like mine to smell really strong.
It's smelling like chemicals. I mean, it does, it kind of gives the illusion like it's floral or it's cotton or whatever. And I definitely understand the appeal to that. So usually what's a great, it's so funny, like baking soda and vinegar. Baking soda helps remove stains and vinegar helps soften. So vinegar is a great softener to use, and then baking soda is a great dish or laundry detergent. And then, again, essential oils, find your favorite essential oil and go ahead and mix it in there, and it should be absolutely fine. Unfortunately, that really, really, really strong smell, the reason it's strong is because it's chemicals.
Well, just in general, I just want to say, Jenny, we didn't talk much about that, but perfumes and smells, that things that smell good, they're actually smell good because they're chemicals, and those chemicals go right into your brain. So your nose is the closest spot to access your brain, and you are smelling them. You're going in, and those chemicals are going right into your brain. And it's another place where we're just very unconscious to even think about it. Oh, this smells good. That smells good. We put perfume on, but we're just basically putting toxins right into our brain.
I get a headache.
Right.
I do too. Okay. All right. Sorry, Janine. I've got heaps, but I can.
All right. So what we'll do is all the questions that we have. And we always get tons of questions in this because it's a real eye opener. Is we will try to answer those over the next 24 to 48 hours in the members area, and maybe Janine, if you don't mind visiting that site, our members area.
Definitely.
So Janine will be there to answer questions. Janine, thank you so much for taking time out in the middle of the night to do this amazing presentation. I really appreciate all of you.
You guys are very welcome.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you so much for the invitation. And also, I posted the recipe for the DIY toilet bowl cleaner in the questions area already, so that's already there. And then, feel free for anyone to ask any additional questions, and I and Nadia will get to them. I will get to them as soon as I wake up. And I had such a pleasure with all of you guys.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Janine.
Thanks,
have a great night's sleep, and we'll speak to you real soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
And Nadia, if you don't mind just staying on just another minute or two, I really appreciate it. And we can just pick one or two more detox questions. And then, again, all the other detox questions that we don't get to in this webinar, we will also answer over the next 24 to 48 hours. So keep them coming in the members area, and we'll keep helping with that.
Can I just ask one? Because I know Nadia gave such wonderful advice in last year's detox about covering gray hair.
Oh.
The suggestion, yes.
Yeah, so the suggestion that I mentioned last year was about drinking nettle tea.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah, you can get them dry and you just make a tea with it. So you can make a tea by pouring hot water over the dried nettles, or you can do a cold infusion where you put the nettles in the bottom of a glass mason jar is what I use. Fill it up with water and then just let it sit out all overnight. It'll infuse overnight. And in the morning, strain it out. You can put a little sweetener in there if you'd like. I drink it straight.
So you drink it as nettle water. That becomes your water for the day. Is that right?
Yeah, basically.
If it's a cold infusion. How long do we have to do this before we see results?
Well, the story that I told last year was about a lady that was pregnant and she was starting to go gray and she wanted to cover her gray, but she didn't want to use any chemicals.
Sure.
And so she was asking, you know, what she could do. And she was given this suggestion. And then we saw her again several months later, and we saw her and we said, oh, so I guess you decided to dye your hair after all. Yeah. And she said, no, all she had been doing is drinking the NLT. So for her, in the matter of a few months, it looked to us as if she had used hair dye on her hair.
I'm going to try it because, you know, I have gray hair, and I was going to try it last year, and I forgot all about it. I'm glad you brought that up then. But I'm just really curious more than anything.
Yeah,
and nettles are great. They're super nourishing, so they're wonderful for all sorts of other things in your body as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if a pregnant lady can take them, then they certainly must be all right.
Yeah.
Jennifer says, thanks for the great support today. I have a question. I've observed that for the last few days, I've had a crack down the middle of my tongue. Does this have to do with the detox, or is this something else?
Okay, Nadia?
It can be. It's hard to say exactly. If it's not hurting you, if it's not causing any pain, you can just keep an eye on it. But a lot of things happen when we detox. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that our body holds on to that our body can release during a cleanse like this. And sometimes it happens in funny, odd ways. I would watch what happens over the course of the detox and even after you start eating, and you might find a lot of changes happening to your tongue.
And what about the tongue scraping? I know like a lot of it, when you go to like a detox
yeah.
spa, they give you a tongue scraper. Why do they do that? What's the
yeah.
rationale for
well,
that?
Well, the thing for that is, especially when you're asleep at night, is when your body does most of its detoxing. And that's why when you wake up in the morning, you have that white coating on your tongue sometimes. Sometimes you have a little bit of bad breath. You have to go to the bathroom right away. That's all of the toxins that your body has pushed to the surface overnight. And then in the morning, it wants you to get rid of them. So yeah. with tongue scraping, you use a little device that you run over the surface of your tongue, and it takes that coating off. So when you're detoxing, that coating on your tongue tends to get a lot thicker because your body is getting the chance now to push a lot of things to the surface. So when I do a detox cleanse, I scrape my tongue every single morning all the time. But when I'm doing a detox cleanse, I'll be scraping my tongue sometimes two or three times a day.
So do you think that would be a good thing for this person to do?
Definitely, yeah. And as long as there's no pain, you mentioned that yep. there's a crack there, so as long as there's no bleeding or no pain or anything like that, then, yeah, tongue scraping would be wonderful.
Could it be that she's not getting enough liquid? Could it be a dehydration symptom or no?
It's always good to make sure you're getting enough liquid. So
yeah.
definitely ask yourself if you think you're drinking yeah. enough. Always check in with yourself constantly throughout the day to see if you're thirsty or feeling any sort of hunger or thirst at all, and
yeah.
make sure you've got that constant stream of liquid going in.
Okay.
Okay. Lisa says, about juicing, I used spinach and lots of herbs, and it was really green. Is it possible to be too green? And also, I remember John saying to stay away from chard and kale.
Yeah.
Why should we?
Yeah. So they have some enzyme inhibitors and some oxalates that in high quantities are problematic. Now, when you say spinach, are you talking about the Australian spinach that's also known as silver beet, or are you talking about the English spinach that's the spinach that we put in that are teeny leaves that go in the salad? So the spinach that's teeny leaves that go in the salad are fine to juice, but if you're juicing the silver beet, that's similar. I would put that in the same category as kale and Swiss chard, that it's got too many enzyme inhibitors and oxalates that can cause problems with our metabolism and with our digestion. So that's why I kind of steer clear of them for juices. If I have kale, it's usually going to be steamed, possibly dehydrated, but not juiced. I don't juice kale too much. That's why I really like that one combination that I talked about, which is celery, cucumber, lemon, ginger, and then lots of other goodies in it. But it's not going to give you that same problem. What do you say, Nadia?
We do juice kale and chard, but we don't do a lot of it. So we don't do it every day. And I highly recommend people to rotate their greens for that same reason that you said. All greens actually have a component to them that if we eat too much of them, our body will turn away from them. It's almost like we build
yeah.
up a tolerance to them if we have
yeah.
a lot of them over and over again. So
yeah.
it's always good to rotate your greens for that. Purpose. And then she was also asking about, can the drink be too green? And
yeah.
the reason you'll know that it's too green for you is you'll just get probably a strong cleansing reaction, because it's the chlorophyll in the greens that are helping your body to detox. And
right.
if the detox is happening too fast, that's when a lot of times you'll feel nauseous or you'll feel queasy, headaches sometimes. So if the juice tastes too green, or you get some of those queasy reactions after, then you might want to just hold off on it. You might, that exact same juice might not cause a problem on day four or day five, but
makes
maybe
sense.
On day one or two, you might have a little bit of that.
Typically the way I do that, and that is I don't actually vary my juice too much, but I vary juicing in the sense that I don't always juice. So like in the last detox I did, maybe I juiced for the first 3 or 4 or 5 days, and then I went off to more super greens or broths. But you might find like a day or two of juicing where you're juicing a lot and then you're not going to want to juice so much, you might tend more toward broths or super greens, and you'll find, and then you might want to go back to the juices. You can do it that way too. So you don't have to, you don't have to have a juice. And in the members area, there are different, you know, lots of different recipes for juices. So Dan, let's take one more question. We've gone way past time, and we're keeping Nadi for a long time, and the webinar is about to end anyway. So if we could take one other question, and then we will any other questions that we don't answer, we will continue to answer in the members area.
I've got to choose now. Sorry. okay. Laura and Jacqueline asked, and this is to do with today's webinar, but I know, Nadia, that you feel okay. Do you always have to shower after dry brushing?
No, definitely not. Okay. Dry brushing is nice to do in the earlier part of the day because it can be quite invigorating and stimulating. I have done it sometimes in the evening, and then you know, it's hard to fall asleep sometimes just because of that invigoration. But yeah, any time is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. So thanks everyone, and you know, Janine's gone, but thanks again, Janine, for this wonderful presentation, and Nadia for your amazing information. More and more, I want to do a day in the life of Nadia because I just love the way you live, and the information that you have is just so priceless. And people are commenting about it all the time in support group in the members area, just how priceless your information is. And everyone else, thanks so much, Dan, Shan, Alice, Aaron, everybody else that's in the webinar, and everyone that's listening. Any other questions that we didn't get to, we will get to in the members area, so keep checking back there. And we will speak to you once again tomorrow. So have a wonderful day, and speak soon. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Nadia.